at any rate, we live in a three-dimensional world, okay? But most of our data that we collect, we study this three-dimensional world in two dimensions. Okay, now I want to explain what I mean by that in this talk and kind of illustrate some of the really cool things that we are able to do using just plain software, off-the-shelf software, mainly Adobe After Effects. But if you look at this, okay, there it is without all the stuff on it. Now that's 3D. Go ahead, put your glasses up. Now, this is the way we live, but this is how we study. You see the difference? Okay, that's 3D. Just leave your glasses on for a second. There's 2D. See the difference?
Yes.
Which one do you like better? That one or that one? First one, right? I mean, that's where we live, right? Now, if you're doing this and your head is going, your eyes are going, ring, turn it around and put the color on the other side, okay, if it really confuses your brain. Some people can't really see 3D. Some people, if you're colorblind, I apologize. There's nothing I can do for you. But at any rate, we're interested in studying oat crowns. This bottom portion of the plant is what we call the crown. We're interested in what happens in this region because this is where the plant survives the winter. Okay, this, if the top part, if the leaves are killed, if the roots are killed, as long as this meristematic region in here survives, the plant will regrow in the spring. So we're interested in this part of the plant. This is a longitudinal section of the crown region. Here's the growing point. And like I said, as long as this tissue survives, we're okay for the winter. So this is why we're interested in what's going on inside the plant, because if you look over here, here's a plant that was frozen, and we find in general there are three tillers in oats. Actually, in most small grains, there's three main tillers in the fall, at least. Once we freeze them, here's a tiller over here on the right. I'm assuming you can see my arrow. Yeah. This is where we cut it off after it's frozen. So you have this initial spurt of growth, and then it stops, and then this tiller dies. Now, this tiller is represented by this cross-sectional image. Okay, so you can see this dark red is primarily dead tissue. Okay. By the way, this is not in 3D. But you can, if you like, go ahead. I'll let you know. We're coming up to some videos here that I think you'll enjoy. But this tiller here is represented in a micrograph by this whole tiller here. What happened is this part of the tiller died. The growing point died right here, which is what you see right here. And a little bud off to the side of the apical meristem regrew, and that's what you see growing behind it here, okay? And then we have a third tiller in the back that never did die, and it survived the freezing. So we have all this stuff going on inside. And I thought, you know, I don't have a clue from this image, two-dimensional image, of what's really going on in the plant. And so we started doing different experiments. One of the things we did was divided the tissue up into four regions. This is what we call the apical meristem. We saw complete deterioration of cells up here. In this zone, we saw we call it the transition zone. We saw these barriers in there. In two dimensions, it's just this kind of half circle. And then this is all general. We have some overlap and in this region, we had tissue separation where ice we thought was probably growing and just pushing tissue apart. And down here, we saw a lot of this, what looks like plugging of the xylem vessels and phloem and stuff. So we had these four different kinds of freezing response. And we did some carbohydrate measurements. Over here, you see a measurement of the carbohydrates in these four zones. But, you know, this is just really two-dimensional look at what's going on. We have cells behind cells. And when you start thinking about it, it can drive you insane, because if you could imagine, every cell has a different series of metabolic activities, and you put them behind, and they're interacting with the cell next to it, and some of them are interacting through hormones up here, and the complexity is just mind-boggling. So we thought, we've got to simplify this, and of course all of our research, you all know that, we just can't study it the way God looks at it. We study it the only way we know how, and that is just to simplify it. But we need to remember that just because we're looking at our data in two dimensions, that may not explain the whole story. It's just that the most is going to give you kind of a general idea of what's going on. So we started doing these sections, and what we wanted to do is focus on the three-dimensional aspect purely in the visual. Okay, so we thought, okay, here is this nice visual thing here. Oh, what I was going to say before I go to that is, we look at this data, see, this has got an x-axis and it's got a y-axis. So that's two dimensions, okay? Now, sometimes we'll do something really silly like this. You know, that doesn't make the slightest bit of sense, because this third dimension here has got no information in it. In fact, it detracts, because how are you going to tell the difference? Now, where is this? Is it on the line, or is it, you know, you don't need that. This information we're collecting is confusing enough. So you put this extra dimension in there that's meaningless, and it's just not going to help you. So I don't advise you doing that. Fortunately, I was kind of hoping that nobody was going to do that before me. I don't think anybody did it. I hope nobody does it after me. Yes, and I don't want to be insulting. I just want to point out that this is not really three-dimensional data. This is two-dimensional data with this third dimension sort of imposed on it, and if anything, it can confuse the matter. Okay, so three dimensions. Not yet with the glasses. We'll get there, I'll show you. So we started taking these sections, and we said, okay, here's one section. Now, the one behind it looks like this. See how it's changing a little bit as we go behind it? It's not only changing in regard to where this color is, but it's jumping around and shifting, and we thought, man, that's, what if we did this? Mm-hmm. Okay, we can stack these images up, but you can't believe how hard it is to actually do this, because the real issue that we're dealing with here are JPEG images. These are pixel-based images. Now, you know, you could probably give a whole lecture on the difference between pixel-based images versus vector-based images, but pixel-based images, every point in here, and there's a whole ton of them, is only has color information in it, okay? Vector-based images have a whole bunch of other information, and those are the kind of images that, like, your MRI or CT scans can take, and they can build these amazing three-dimensional images. You can see them online. Just type in 3D images and you can see them. With JPEG images, however, you've got some problems, because you can't, this layer here cannot talk to this layer here. So we have to do some manipulation of it. I called people all over the country. I called companies. Everybody said, no, you can't do it. You can't do it. Finally, I found a guy at the Apple store who said, in Raleigh, North Carolina, he says, yeah, you can, I think you can, let's try it. So we used this technique called color keying or green screen technology. We named it digital clearing, got a paper published in the Journal of Microscopy, and they used one of our images on the cover. This is coming out next month. But here's what we did. We cleared off the background. Now we've got those same five images stacked up, and you can see behind a little bit. But what we wanted to do was get rid of this and just only have the dark red. So here we go. Okay, put them on. Okay, now I'm going to click this. Now here's what we did. Just see? Clear it out. Now you can see that really cool stuff in there. What the heck is it? Let me do it again just so that you can, in case you didn't see it the first time. And I can look at my notes. Okay, so this introduction to After Effects gave us a real interesting tool to look at freezing. Okay, here's one. You don't need your glasses for this one. Actually, you know what? We're running out of time, aren't we? Are you standing up for me?
No, another 2 minutes.
Okay, let me go right to this one because this is, Okay, put on your glasses. This is a frozen oat, and we're building up, we're stacking up the sections, and this here is the freeze response that we saw in that other one. Okay, now this is a solid object here. Okay, so we still want to clear it out and see that barrier. Here's the barrier. We build it. We're able now to build that up. And what was interesting about this is we noticed when we did this in three dimensions that this barrier actually forms a spherical region of tissue. Okay, there was that. The fact that it forms a sphere was something that didn't occur to us. And the second thing is, coming around here, as we turn around, there's a big old root here, you can just barely see it. Well, there's a hole right here in that barrier where this root goes in. Now, we don't know what that means. We're still just looking at this, trying to get an overall feel for, here's one dead tiller, another dead tiller, a third dead tiller, and here's a live bud over here. We're able to do a cross-section through this tissue in all kinds of different angles. This is a corn seed. That it works just as well. Now, this is not 3D, I'm sorry. The 3D part of it is over. But we're able to image a corn seed. I had to cut the top and the bottom off so that it would fix correctly. But there's the embryo. And you can take the embryo out. Any way you want. You can clear it out here. Let me just get it here, and then we'll... Well, that's just the embryo. We're looking at a disease situation with Aspergillus. This is Aspergillus infection. This is Gus staining a single section. We took the other half of the seed and sectioned it. And I'll just get this started because he's going to pull out his whip here in a minute. And this red is something that you see as a result of the Aspergillus infection. And we can clear out the green and just look at the red. And lo and behold, we even are working with a guy at the vet school in at North Carolina State imaging. Now, this is called negative space filling technique, where we take this, this is a blood vessel, and these are, I have them labeled here. This is a portal tract of a dog liver. This is a portal vein in the dog, and I know this is a plant talk. I apologize, but I'm just trying to show you the amazing... the ability that we have to look at all kinds of different things. We can fill in this negative space, and these are all the different parts of that. So here's the guy, the genius behind it all, Randy Gelman. He's a graphics guy that he runs his Beltline Media Company. There's his wife. Two of them work together, and this guy is amazing. If you have any graphics issues that you want to talk over, he's a good one to go to. Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.